From Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. And reading from verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you... For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And the next one is from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, and that's on page 1188. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I want to address the topic of prayer. Now we've read four passages, and each one of them could be a sermon on their own. So this morning I'm just doing a broad brush approach on prayer. And I want to begin by asking just a simple question. Do you pray? Do you pray? Now, I know that some of you may think that it's rather rude perhaps of me even asking the question. And perhaps you may think, well, that's perhaps none of your business. But I suggest it is my business as a pastor to know whether you pray, and I would put it further that it is also the business of each other to know whether we pray. For if Christians don't pray, then I would suggest there's something drastically wrong with your spiritual relationship with your Saviour. And I dare say also that my experience has taught me that many Christians do not pray nearly enough. And the odd thing is, when you're a pastor, people think that a pastor's prayer has more weight, more access to the throne room of grace than the tax collector who beats his breast. Don't be deluded. My prayers are not worth any more than the prayers of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how plain or how simple those prayers may be. Now, how many Christians feel comfortable to pray at a family gathering or to even be placed on a roster and to lead in congregational prayer? I dare say the main reason that many are uncomfortable with praying is because, not just because they're scared of public speaking, but because they don't practice prayer. They don't practice prayer. We may well sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer" or "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," but if we never or seldom pray, then again, there is something wrong. Now, I can hear people say in their defense, "Hey, Zudi, we just read it in Matthew 6. The Bible says, go into your inner room and pray quietly. No one needs to see it." And I guess that's true. That's true. And it should not be despised. Yet there are times when we should be able to lead in prayer. Public prayer. I'm not suggesting that we should be boastful. That's wrong. That's wrong. We certainly don't want to be like the Pharisee. Nonetheless, Christians should be able to pray. And the reason why I say that is because it's the first sign of thankfulness for a Christian. Of course, there are other people that pray in this world. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. And sometimes we may even think that unbelievers pray when they call out to God after a catastrophe. However, I would suggest that that's not a believing prayer, but a prayer of desperation, and not very meaningful. There are others who think prayer is some type of meditation or stillness. Some think that in today's busy and noisy world, everyone needs to retreat into some closet or chamber for wholesome self-protection. They claim that's the way to deal with the pressures of the modern life. But I suggest that one needs to be careful, for it may lead us to worshipping self and finding the answers within ourselves rather than talking to the true Creator God and turning inward and finding answers within. It's just wrong to do that. Now, God, of course, is present everywhere. And He will surely hear the words expressed by a Muslim and by a Buddhist and by a Hindu or an unbeliever calling out to God. I mean, God will hear that. However, for a Christian, someone who recognizes Jesus Christ as their Savior, their prayers will be answered from the throne room of grace, because God loves us in Christ. We are His children. Who would not answer their children? See, God's children in Christ can be assured that He will answer our prayers, and He will answer them in a way that first and foremost will give glory to His name. That's the first way He answers our prayer. And then secondly, for the benefit of His children, both immediate benefit and for their eternal benefit. So I want to encourage you this morning, be people of prayer. The Lord Jesus took time out to pray. It was His habit to pray. And surely if our Saviour did so, we can do nothing less but follow in His steps. So why should we pray? Again, prayer is most important part, for it shows that we are thankful to God. And in that thankfulness, we acknowledge that He is sovereign, that He is in control, and that He loves us in Christ. Praying for us as Christians should be as natural as breathing. We cannot do without it. And added to that, we need to take care how we shape our prayers. Often, and I'm guilty as probably many people are, most of our prayers are structured in a way that we are continually asking the Lord to give us something. And it's often very little about being thankful. Thankful for what, you ask? Well, let me just give you a few things this morning. And this is not an endless list at all. Firstly, without God's love and mercy towards you, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't even be here. Every breath you take, every heartbeat is a gift of our Father in heaven. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that's the reality of it. Everything that is given to us comes from His fatherly hand. Everything we enjoy, every marvel we see, every beautiful eyes fall upon, every sound we hear comes from His fatherly hand. Every miracle of new birth, every baby's cry or laughter, all reason for thanks. The psalmist reminds us that the whole earth is full of the Lord's glory. God created us to glorify Him with the life that we have and the creation that He has given us. If that is the initial experience of God's love to us, if that is all that we enjoyed, it would be more than enough reason for us to give thanks. More than enough. And therefore, no one is exempt from giving thanks. No one is exempt from acknowledging God as the Creator and Giver of all things. And when people don't, and many don't, they are immediately in debt to their Creator. And they are adding daily to it. But there's more reason for thanks. Our Father in heaven not only gave us life, He not only gives us every heartbeat and every breath we take, He gave us new life. By His Word and Spirit, He has made His Son known to us. He has made it known that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that we have eternal life if we believe in Him. I mean, that's the good news. God sent His Son into the world to give His life as a ransom for many, died on a cruel cross, so that we, believing, no longer are His enemies, no longer recipients of His wrath, but now recipients of His love and mercy. See, no longer is God just out there, some abstract spirit, but He now lives within us by His Holy Spirit. We have purpose for living. We have reason for life. We have reason to leave the life of sin that causes heartache and pain and much sorrow. See, because of what Christ has done, because of His Holy Spirit living within us, we can now draw near to our Father in heaven, and He answers our prayers. Again, according to His infinite wisdom, what gives Him glory, what is to our eternal benefit. And again, if that is all that we enjoyed on this earthly life, we have much reason for thankfulness. Still more. Still more. We have the promise, not just new life in the Spirit, but eternal life of glory. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more sin. No more cancer. No more death. Wow. That's for us. All because of Christ. Because of God's love to us in Him. And the beauty is that if we are in Christ today, we already share in that eternal life. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing. So when you start thinking about those few reasons that I've listed, it's almost incomprehensible, isn't it, that Christians don't pray. Or they find it difficult to at least lace their prayers with thankfulness. A Christian prays, for that is the best way he can show that he is thankful. Brothers and sisters, I know there are things that happen in our lives. I deal with them on a regular basis, not just personally, but in other people's lives, that don't make us all that thankful, especially when illness comes and all that sort of stuff. We're not all that thankful, but we have so much reason to give thanks, especially our salvation in Christ. I put it to you that the way a Christian prays is an indication of his heart's condition before a holy God. God doesn't need rivers of oil or mountains of cash. He desires a heart that's been changed by the death and resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and renewed by his Spirit and therefore continually thankful. A second reason why we need to pray is that God gives his grace to those who pray continually. We pray because we will receive only when we ask. Nobody in this universe can force God to do or not to do something. Therefore, we cannot make him give anything, yet he has ordained it, that we pray and ask before we receive. When we lack, therefore, the logical explanation is that we are slack in asking. God has a rich storeroom of riches for his people. James reminds us, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. James 1:5. And then he goes on to say, you do not have because you don't ask. We're such poor asking people. People say they cannot resist temptation. But have they asked to resist it? Some say they cannot serve in the offices of the church. But have they prayerfully asked for the Lord to give them the strength to do it? Some say they cannot help but use coarse language, but have they asked the Lord to give them the power to refrain from doing it? Some say they cannot cope with new surroundings or with debilitating illnesses, but have they asked God for an extra measure of his grace and strength to cope? Sometimes we don't ask. What we end up doing is complaining and thinking, wow, poor, poor me. Ask. James says you do not have because you don't ask. Let's not be ashamed or embarrassed to unceasingly beg for the favour and the grace of God because none of us are entitled to any of God's gifts. Let's not allow ourselves to become lazy or too tired to pray. Don't be embarrassed to ask. It's fine. When my grandchildren are up, it's always nice to spoil them with things, you know, and they unashamedly ask for things. You know, I go to the mall and you see one of those things that they can sit in and it takes $2 or $4. And they say, Opa, put some money in. You know, and then they tug me on my pants. Opa, put some money in. You know, I occasionally put money in. How God loves to give good gifts to his children. All we need to do is ask. And he will only give us the things that are going to be good for us. We don't always know what's going to be good for us, but he does. And he will answer accordingly because he is infinitely wise. So let's keep knocking on heaven's gates. Unashamedly. And may God who loves us continue to be gracious and give us all that is good, firstly for his glory and for our eternal benefit and the welfare of loved ones. Now, how often should we pray? Should it be like Daniel, 3 times a day? Should it be only at meal times? Should it, of course not, I was going to say, should it only be at worship times? That would be silly. In our circles, we say we can pray all the time. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, pray continually. Pray continually. The telephone to glory is never engaged. God doesn't put us on hold. We don't have to press the right button. God loves to hear us ask to pray to Him with thanksgiving. The New Testament teaches that Christians should pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Devote yourselves to prayer, says Paul in Colossians. He will hear us and He will answer us. We don't necessarily need to be in the closet or around the dinner table or at church. We can pray when we walk along the way. When we drive the car, don't close your eyes, but when you drive the car, we can pray any time. God is listening. In fact, we should pray continually and groan inwardly. Can't remember chapter and verse. I think it's Romans 8, 22, something like that. The Spirit exchanges our groans inwardly with our words so it makes them presentable before the Father in heaven. That's what we should do. One thing I don't find very helpful, it's a personal thing here, I know we shouldn't be personal on the pulpit, but personal thing, I don't find it very helpful to pray at night just before you fall asleep. Because inevitably, I don't know whether I've ever said amen when I wake in the morning. It's just not good for me to do that. It's just not good for me to do that. It's good for me when I get up in the morning to take some time out and to pray. Because that's when I'm alert. So we can pray at any time, night or day, without some set times, but as soon as... My experience has taught me that before long, if we're not careful, we don't pray. Set special times aside for prayer. It's a good practice. Good practice. And if God's people prayed three times in the Old Testament, well, that's a pretty good example for us to follow. And when we ask in faith and when we give thanks, our Father will accept our thanks. He will give. When we seek, we shall find. And when we knock, the door will be opened. So, do you pray? Do you pray? Now, I've spent a little bit of time on this, and I think I perhaps should put a rider. We shouldn't be too disappointed when a person cannot pray. We need to teach our people to pray. We've got to teach our children to pray. Their prayers don't always make much sense. I hear my little grandchildren pray. But hey, the Lord hears. That's fine. That's fine. It's a process. Teach our children the letters of the alphabet. Teach them to count to 10. But don't forget to teach them how to pray. But it's also true for grown-up Christians. John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. The disciples of Jesus came to him and said, teach us to pray. And of course, without doubt, to pray well is a gift. But if you never pray, you'll never get better. That's the other side of the coin. It's a bit like golf. You know, everybody thinks they can play golf well. But when you don't practice, you don't get any better. There's also another danger that I sometimes call Christianese. So it's a new language, really. You have people who can pray so eloquently, and you're almost mesmerized by the way that they can string phrases together, and wow, what a lovely prayer. But with respect, sometimes Christian prayers can be so full of this Christianese, what I call Christianese or cliches, that they are in danger of no longer being meaningful. We need to pray in a way that is honouring to our Father in heaven. It's a good thing to do. John Calvin, the great reformer of the 1500s, it is written of him that he never prayed in public without writing down his prayers first. It's okay to write down your prayers. The one thing that Christians should never say is that they can never pray or that they can't pray out aloud. Silent prayers, as much as they are good and beneficial, endless silent prayers are the death of faith and even families and churches. You know, I've sat around kitchen tables when all the kids are there, at people's places, you know, and instead of having a loud prayer, the person who's sort of usually the father says, let's pray, and everybody just bows their head. Nobody says anything. I'm not sure whether that's beneficial. I don't think that's a good way to teach our children or each other how to pray. The other thing I need to add is let's not forget that prayer for the Christian is responding to God's prodding or the Spirit's prodding. God wants us to answer the call He first made to us. We're like Samuel in that regard. You know, Samuel heard the voice. Samuel, Samuel! And then Samuel answered, speak for your servant is listening. That is also the way it is for us. Our prayer is answering God's call. Lord, here I am. Here I am. I answer to your word. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, that the Creator God wants to speak to us, His children. I mean, I don't think for a moment, did you, that your praying was a result of your own willpower? I mean, God prods you to pray. When we were estranged from God and one another, and God sent the Word that has become flesh and found us, we respond, Father, I was lost, but now I am found. We've been given new life. So we pray to God in thankful response to His goodness that He's first shown to us. So pray, brothers and sisters. It's the best and it's the first fruit we can offer in thankfulness to God. It's part of being obedient and it's a good discipline. I know sometimes I don't feel like praying. Sometimes we don't feel all that thankful. But we must pray. And the more we focus on our loving God, and the more we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we will want to pray. Prayer rises like an offering of incense to our God, according to the psalmist. Revelation 8 speaks about our prayers being presented to God as an offering to which incense is added. It's worth more to Him than any amount of money or any amount of service. God wants living sacrifices, says Romans. Don't just give Him something. Give Him yourself in prayer, with thankfulness. And anything we give to God in praise is only because we have first received. Brothers and sisters, may we know how to pray, and may we be people of prayer for the glory of our God and our eternal benefit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we have so much to be thankful for. We thank You for Your creation that we can enjoy every day. And for the gift of life, we thank You for every heartbeat that You give us, every breath of air that we are enabled to take. We thank You that we can see Your hand in so many things, in the rising of the sun, to the beautiful sunset in the evening. We thank You for the starry hosts above that display Your glory. We thank You for every budding flower and every drop of rain that replenishes the earth. We thank You for mums and dads and families that love us. We thank You for the fellowship of the saints. And Father, if that were all that You would give us, it would be more than enough reason for us to thank You all our days. But as we have heard from Your word, there is so much more. We thank You especially for the gift of Your precious Son, our wonderful Redeemer, the One who went to a cruel cross, who gave His life so that we may have life. We thank You that You have given us the reason for living and given us a bright hope for tomorrow. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that reminds us of Your love so clearly displayed in Your Son. And again, we thank You for the gift of eternal life. What a marvelous blessing for all who would believe in Your Son. Father, we thank You too for Your daily blessings of sustaining us. Thank You for the abundance of food and clothing and shelter and work and health and strength. Thank You for each other. Thank You that You are a God who hears our prayers and answers them according to Your infinite wisdom. Thank You for keeping loved ones safe that have travelled, and for those who are travelling, we pray that You continue to keep them safe. Father, we thank You for the gift of health that so many of us enjoy, but we also want to bring our requests, and we bring those before You who are experiencing ill health and who need Your hand of healing. We pray for our sister Kerry Boer, for our brother Nicholas Cronje, for our sister Inika van Zweten, all who are undergoing treatment or who will need further treatment. Lord, we pray for Your hand of blessing and healing upon them, if that be Your will. We pray also, Father, for Your blessing and nearness on those who struggle with the frailty that comes with age. Lord, sustain them with Your grace. Father, we pray for those who struggle with temptation. May Your word and spirit guide them and provide a way of escape and bring them to victory. Lord, we thank You for wedding anniversaries. We pray for our marriages that You would bless them and enrich them. We pray for our children that You would cause them to walk in Your ways. We pray for our families, particularly where there is brokenness and tension, that You would bring healing, that You would bring love back into those relationships so that healing and restoration can come about. Father, we thank You too for the peace that we enjoy in this land, how blessed we are, and yet we are mindful of the troubles in other nations. We particularly think at this time of Syria, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, some South African nations. Lord, we pray that peace may be restored there. Father, we pray too for Christian brothers and sisters in these places who are experiencing persecution, that you would keep them safe, but that they may continue to be a salting salt in these difficult places. Father, we thank you too for the opportunity to serve in your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to use us mightily for your glory and for the benefit of each other and our unbelieving neighbour too. Father, thank you again for the wonderful salvation we have in your Son. Teach us how to pray, how to be thankful for all your good gifts to us, especially the gift of your Son. Amen.